Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right. Welcome to another episode of The Close Up. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron. This podcast is a part of the Orlando Magic HQ network. And today we have a really fun episode. We got Luke Scacchi. Did I say your name, your last name right?
Yes, you did.
Heck yeah. I was going to ask you like right before we started recording, but I'm like, yeah, I'll wing it live.
No, I've heard just about everything. Scochi, Sochi, Scotch, just about anything you can imagine. But good for you for getting it first try.
We're here. We are here. Listeners, if you're not familiar, Luke is a writer with Orlando Magic HQ. He's written some banging articles recently. Most recently, an exclusive interview with Goga Bitadze that we will talk about here shortly. But last year had a one-on-one exclusive interview with Michael Carter Williams and done some other really awesome like content for Orlando Magic HQ. We're super psyched to have a really fun basketball conversation. But before we get to that, take care of the housekeeping stuff, all right? So first, you got to check out our Instagram subscription program. All right, it's $5 a month. We are running a giveaway that will be announced at the end of the month, or the winners will be announced. Right now, the giveaway is if you join, anyone that joins between now and the end of December, you're going to qualify yourself for a Orlando Magic City Edition Starters jacket. And then there's also 5 Orlando Magic HQ hats. I'm not currently wearing mine, but Luke's got his on.
I am. I got mine on.
Yeah, and we're going to give away 5 of those to 5 other contestants. And the subscription program gets you custom content just for you guys. Gets you 20% discount on select Magic home games, which is pretty dope. Tickets, if you're wanting to get discount on tickets. We're sending out like custom graphics and wallpapers and screensavers for you all. We do, private group Q&As and group live chats together with just all of us. It's really cool. There's some other benefits there. I'm doing probably a very poor job of explaining it, but go to our Instagram page or our Twitter page and go to our pin and you can see all the benefits that it comes with. And it's $5 a month, and that $5 comes back to us, which we then basically just feed right back into you all to do giveaways and things like that. So check it out, consider subscribing, and if you do, you could potentially win a dope jacket. It's really cool looking. The other thing that we have to do before we get into this conversation is talk about who this podcast is presented by. Right now, it's presented by Bet Online. Bet Online remains your top sport for all your live betting actions and contests. Luke, are you a bettor? Do you sports gamble over in Boston?
Oh, it just got legalized in Massachusetts. I'm a bit tempted. And I have submitted that temptation on multiple occasions here.
Well, if you don't already know, Bet Online is the place for you because, Luke, we have NFL, college football, NFL, UFC, NHL.
Dude, NHL,
we got it all.
You got it all?
Oh, that's and the crazy. NBA.
Oh, now you're selling me.
Dude, everything's in full swing right now, and you can bet on all of it on Bet Online with your number one source for all wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. With both desktop mobile access you can get this news and information anytime, anywhere. All you got to do is just go to BetOnline today and use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. I can't bet legally in California. If I could, I would go to BetOnline. That's where I would go, you know? But Luke can legally bet in Massachusetts. So, Luke, I'm assuming you're a BetOnline user.
I will be a BetOnline user. I'm currently not, but you have sold me, and I will check out BetOnline. And just as you, I think they just legalized it in Florida too, if I'm mistaken.
They did, but I'm also not in Florida. I'm in California.
But to our listeners who are in Orlando right now,
oh yeah,
BetOnline is your number one site to go to.
Go.
If, of course, you are a better.
You can get 50% off your
always gamble responsibly.
Always. BetOnline, where the game starts. Luke, I appreciate you coming in the mix on that with me. Fun, man. Cool, man. So let's get into it right now. The Magic are currently playing. We're recording this Monday, December 11th. We are actually skipping watching the Magic versus Cavs right now. Maybe we'll watch the second half. But currently going into this game, they are 15-7. All right. Sitting second in the East. I think they're tied with the Milwaukee Bucks still. You had a really cool opportunity. You were working on this for a while. You landed a killer interview with Goga Bitadze, who, I mean, he's been our starting center since game 5 when Wendell Carter Jr. hurt his hand. And, like, he kind of went from, like, this guy we, like, picked up last year, didn't really know much about him. He played a little bit towards the end of the year. You know, we kept his team, the team option. We picked it up to retain him this year. He was kind of playing that third center role and then had this massive opportunity. And then you landed an awesome interview and got to spend, you know, a good amount of time getting to know him and getting a bunch of information. Just before we get into some of the details, what was that experience like? What was your first impressions when you started talking to Goga and just like the communication leading up to that point?
Yeah, no. I feel like Goga kind of gives off this vibe of not necessarily aloof, but reserved in a way. I'm just going to go in, do my thing, and just get out. And going into the interview, I didn't want to like rock the boat. And so I carefully crafted a bunch of questions just to make sure that that I wasn't overstepping any boundaries, that I didn't ask anything uncomfortably, because I didn't know how open he would be. And so I was very particular with how I did that. But very quickly, I found out that Goga is a lot funnier than I ever would have imagined him being. Genuinely, so for those of you who don't know, I, in addition to Orlando Magic HQ, I have done some work for Boston.com. And I've gotten to interview a couple of NBA guys as well for them. And I've also done MCW as well. They're all great people that I've done stuff with. Goga is by far the most personable and easygoing person that I've ever had the pleasure of interviewing, honestly. He's such a really, really entertaining, engaging guy, but also does not hold himself to this high standard. For example, one of the things that did make the article, I asked one of my best friends if he had any questions that he'd like to know, that he'd like to ask, because he's a big Magic fan the way I am. And he wanted me to ask Goga, what is your spirit animal? Steven, when you think, when you ask a professional athlete, what is your spirit animal? What do you think like they're going to say?
Some sort of like alpha predator, you know?
Yeah, like I'm a lion.
Like a gorilla or a lion or something. Yeah.
Like a tiger.
Shark.
I ask him, it's my final question. He goes, what's your spirit animal? He looks at me for a second, puts his head up. He goes, I'd say I'm a panda. They just be chilling.
I love it.
And that's the vibe that I got from like the entire interview. This guy is just a panda who's really, really good at basketball. And I mean that in like the nicest way possible. Very, very hard worker, but doesn't take himself too seriously. just a great overall guy. And if you ever get the chance to meet or talk to Goga, definitely go for it. He's such a good guy. And I had a ton of fun doing the interview. He was very gracious with everything. I thought we had a couple of communication issues in the interview, and he was very accepting and great. And by communication, I mean like technical difficulties, because I'm on the like limited Zoom plan with the way that my Zoom is. I'm not paying for Zoom.
Sure.
He was very accommodating towards that as well. He was very helpful in getting this interview done, and it wouldn't have gotten done without his, I mean, not of course his consent, but just with how accommodating he's been through this entire process. And this wasn't like a very, this wasn't like a, oh, this just so happened to happen thing. No, I had this idea of like doing a Goga interview, like right after I did the MCW interview in March. And I went out and started asking in May, and some things like happen. At first he said, let's wait until I find out if they accept my team option. And then when he did, we asked again, and then he was in Georgia prepping for the World Cup. And about a month ago, I asked again, and eventually his people got back to me and said, yeah, he'd love to do this. And it went from there.
That's awesome, man.
I'm very glad that it went the way it did.
The vibes that you give, like that you're talking, it's like, it's funny. You can see that because of like the way his teammates talk about him, you know, Cole Anthony is like, apparently him and Goga have like an unspoken, like best friendship already. In the locker room, I think there was an interview where like in a joking way, like Cole Anthony called him ugly, just like for fun, you know? And it's like,
yeah, that wouldn't surprise me with just how
you could tell that he's already like, you know, pretty, I mean, the chemistry on this team in general is like phenomenal, but it's like he's already like a big part of what makes it so successful. And just the fact that he's come in and made such an impact from game five, you know, as a starter from not really playing at all up until that point, it's just like kind of just speaks volumes about like the skill and understanding that he has as a basketball player. And you got into that pretty deeply, you know, from like his upbringing and, you know, how he played in Georgia, and then he eventually went and played in Serbia as well, like leading up to the NBA. And then, you know, like he really just wanted to like provide for his family, and that's why he came to the NBA, and that's what he did. And so that's like pretty cool. What other kind of tidbits did you learn about Goga and like his upbringing around basketball? Because like it almost sounded like he wasn't really psyched on basketball until he got a little bit older into the sport.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes right now. I was concerned that, like, I going into this article, I admit that I was a little concerned with the way that my hook was in terms of, like, making it out to be like, oh, he's just this guy who hates basketball. I think I kind of narrowly avoided that, but, like, that hook took, like, hours just to craft, just to make sure it didn't come off that way. But, no, the guy is... he started off hating basketball just because like it was like obviously like difficult for him. He didn't understand why his coach was like the way that he was, and he didn't understand like why he had to run all the time. But upon like going to more basketball practices and kind of just like, you know, because like he was tall, he right. had to play. And he tried football, but by his own admittance, he was not very good at it. And so they invested him into basketball because his father was a professional basketball player. And they were like, hey, you got basketball genes. You're tall. You've always been tall, and you look pretty decent at basketball. So let's just put that all into you. And the turning point, I think, that made him like fully love basketball, as I'm going through my notes, at least like the turning point for like, oh, I kind of like basketball too, I'm going to do this for a living, was this whole going, like leaving the country to go to Serbia. Like he started loving basketball, like as I said in my article, like when he got to like understand what his coach was trying to tell him and stuff. And How his friends kind of like grew up with him, and then as they kind of like grew up and accomplished together and struggled together, they had all their highs and lows together. He kind of like, you know what, this basketball thing is pretty good actually. And what made him go, this is exactly what I'm meant to be doing. Not just I love this, but this is my destiny, was going to Serbia and starting to play there. And that's when he started to get noticed. It was basically just him and his mom kind of just going around and saying, hey, let's get agents, let's see what's up. Like, this is all him. And
that's cool.
That idea sparked out because he wanted to help provide for his family, and that work ethic that he noticed from his mom and his aunt, that carried over to him. And that work ethic helped him turn into this really talent, like really skilled, complete basketball player that became a star over in Serbia and eventually in the United States too.
Now he was waived by Indiana Pacers, who drafted him, I think, around 19 overall or something like that, back in, I don't know, 4 years ago. And, you know, the Magic picked him up off the waivers last year. And it was something like, the name wasn't like, within my Magic circle, there's a few people, shout out Jonathan Alisea, who was like, we should go pick him up as soon as he got cut. And we did. And now he's on our team and, you know, played a bit. What do you think his mindset was as he was like joining our team, and why the Magic was a good place for him? What do you think led him and his agent to say yes to coming here?
Yeah, he was like, hell yeah, the entire time. I kind of got the vibe that like Indiana, whether it was because he was just like stuck in the straitjacket on the bench there, and the weather in Indiana is not anywhere near as good as it is in Orlando. But he was very, very like excited to have this new shot, and to have that new shot in a place like Orlando, in this in a place where it's like, I don't know, 60 year round. Because like, to those of you who like have not visited like states like up north, further to those of you who live in Orlando,
it's cold. It's cold.
It's cold, and it gets cold usually very early and without any warning. I live in Boston right now, and it's just I like it sometimes, but like, there are times when I'm like, I wish there was just consistent warmth. I wish I can just wear shorts year round. And like whenever I go back to Orlando, it's like, oh man, this is exactly what I'm missing. And that was what his mindset was. The overall environment. He was like, at first, it's like, let's go. I have a new chance. Indiana wasn't working. So anything will be better than what I had kind of like experienced in Indiana. And then his agent calls him. They're like, hey, the Magic are very interested in signing you. Like, how are you feeling about this? Like, they're asking, like, hey, how's Goga? Does he want to be a part of this? And his agent was like, hey, this is a great place for you, because like, this team, you can build with this team. This is like Indiana. This is a young, hungry team. But this is a team that actually wants your services and values you. Like, yeah, I don't think his agent said you'll be third string, but like the impression was that you have to work for it. But
Wendell Carter Jr. and Mo were already established at that point, you know.
So, Mo Wagner. Yeah. That was when Mo Bamba.
Mo Wagner. That's who I meant.
Right when he was traded. Yeah. But they were already established. They're the 1-2 guys, and like in a way, even though Goga's been starting, Mo Wagner is still kind of like not the man in Orlando, but like, he's the locker room in a way.
Yeah.
Like losing him, you're basically like, that's a huge hit to the locker room. Not to say that Goga's useless or anything, but like,
totally.
But Mo is just that important.
Well, it's interesting, man, because it's like, it goes so much into to player, like just because a player lands in a team doesn't mean they're going to like land in the best position for them, right? You know, like how many Magic players have we drafted that we were not the best position for to like give them the environment that they need and put them in positions to be successful in? And then they go somewhere else and they blossom to who they really should be because like their role's a little bit more defined or their culture's a little bit different or they just vibe with the coach and the chemistry a little bit differently. Not that like the place was bad before, it just wasn't the right fit. And I don't think that people in general acknowledge how much situations truly matter for these basketball players and like them to really find themselves as players, right? And like, you know, you're kind of hitting the nail on the head and we see a perfect example of Goga who, you know, was in Indy, didn't get a ton of playing time, you know, playing behind Miles Turner, Sabonis. You know, there's just like, there was people in his way to really get his shot. And then comes here, still has people in his way, but it's just like a different culture that is like giving him the vibes. Like he didn't know coming into this year that he was going to have this opportunity. He knew like, hey, I can fight for second string. I might end up being the third stringer, but like let's go. And the team picked up his option. Like, and I'm sure they had a conversation with his agent, like, is he going to be happy if we pick up his option and he's the third string, right? I'm sure they had that conversation. Cause like at that, like when you have players that low, like not low, but low priority for a team and agents, like sometimes they'll do each other favors and like a team won't pick up the option cause the agent wants to try and get them elsewhere, you know, things like that. So it's pretty cool to see like now he's played what we've played like 23 games and he's played all but like five of them for meaningful playing time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's impactful. He's playing really well. I don't know if he's a long-term starter, but he's filling in quite nicely, which is pretty, pretty baller. What do you think is his biggest strength that he brings to this team?
The guys, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, from the conversations that like I've had with him.
Yeah.
The guy's just a hard worker. He comes in, does his job. I talk about it a lot in like the third section, but like what a lot of people would say, and I strongly agree with, is that that guy is such an underrated defender.
Yeah.
But he's an underrated defender not because it's a thing that he chases; it's a thing that he's buying into. It's because he's bought into this idea of like, I'm going to come in, I'm going to actually get my chance in the NBA. I'm not going to waste that chance. I talked about it a lot in my article. So for a further review or further like idea, what I'm going to say, read that.
Yes.
But he knew, he said, if I want to be on the court and have my team, when I have to play defense, I'm not that guy who's going to take 20 shots, 10, 15 shots a game. So how to make an impact on the game? That's defense. And that's the first thing. So pay attention to that. And I put a lot of effort into that. I watch a lot of film. I work with coaches. I work on this stuff every single day. I scout. I do all the little things that like that aren't like the hezzy pull-up tweener, all that kind of stuff that like gets you on House of Highlights. But it's the stuff that's important. And it's not because he's like, not that he's not a naturally gifted basketball player, but it's that he's got a naturally gifted like heart to like buy in. And that's something that you just don't teach. And if you have that heart, you can basically learn anything. He's bought into this really fantastical idea that Jamal Mosley has of this like death lineup defensively. And that's all that really motivates him, just winning. I believe that like a lot that we are all familiar with how good Goga is statistically defensively. I mentioned it a little bit in the article, but I'll go a little bit deeper here. To ask a question of like, what makes you such a good defender? It wasn't that question, but I added context. I said per estimated plus minus, which is why they considered probably the best public advanced stat that's out there. You are like the fourth best defender in the NBA. And like, I'm like, were you aware of this at all? He just like looks at me, wide-eyed, just shakes his head. And he's like, I mean, I don't care, but good to know that I'm doing well.
That's good.
Yeah. Like this entire time, throughout the entire win streak, this guy has had no idea how good he's been. He's just been in there, clocking in, getting his stuff in, contributing, clocking out, and finding ways to win, doing his job. And that's kind of just how he's been. Like, and that's what he brings to this team that he didn't get a chance to show in Indiana, because he didn't really have the time to develop in Indiana. And a little bit back to what you were saying earlier about like how Orlando is a much better fit than Indiana was. It's a somewhat similar thing to what Aaron Gordon said on, I think it was Michael Porter Jr.'s podcast. For those of you who didn't see it, he was like, Orlando's a great city now. Aaron Gordon said, it's a great city. They're a great team now. But at the time, it was just like, I'm clocking in, clocking out. I don't care. Which is like, a lot of people got upset, but like, that's true. That's what it was.
That's nobody where the team cared. Was. Yeah.
You're not winning. So like, why have any passion? And once he got to Denver, it was like, this is my role. I'm buying in completely because we got a shot at winning. And not just because we have a shot at winning, but we have a vision of winning. Because when Gogue was in Indiana, they were still trying to figure out what to do with Sabonis, with Miles Turner, with a lot of the new acquisitions.
It was kind of a
like
cap to where that team was going. They needed to reshift some things. It was
and they didn't
similar to where
know.
Orlando was back in the day.
Yeah. And now, once Goga got there, that was around the time when they had this vision of, okay, we're going to be I wish I knew who made, whoever makes those graphics, please reach out to me on Twitter because you do a great job. Those graphics of like the different Magic players like Isaac Suggs and I think Anthony Black as like prison guards in their uniforms.
Oh, that's
and
my boy Karan.
Karan, you do a fantastic job with those. And then they lock up players like that. That's kind of the vision that Jamal Mosley wants, like a very, very defense first. Yeah. When I said that he said, in my article, when he said 95% of our practices is defense focused, I was not lying. Literally in my notes, I'm scrolling down to right now. He said, yeah, I don't know if you guys can watch our practices, but it's basically 95% defense. So we really pay attention to that. Like, once you get good defense, the offense kind of comes naturally. You don't have to. You have to coach Paolo, of course, because like he's a second year player. But like the offense comes from good defense. I perceive to be Moses' philosophy, because he's obviously was known for his defense back in Dallas. Turned Luka into a competent defender. And now that he has like full reign, he gets to run this dream lineup he has, and I'm all here for it.
Yeah, you know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC.
Yeah, he he's bought into the system of Coach Mosley, and I don't really see anyone who hasn't bought into the system of Coach Mosley. Like, the culture of this team is so strong. And you know, I think in years past there's been like a little bit of frustration with how the Magic have drafted and signed certain players, how it's like sometimes we almost pick character over skill set in some aspects, right? And this is granted over the last 6 years of we've had this front office, there's been like a handful of mumblings of that complaint. And when you look at this team today and you have the coach that we have that have set that type of culture, it's just like, It's You can't question the front office's decisions to build the team with characters, because when you have good character, they're going to buy into the system if you have a good coach that is presenting that system to them. And it's like, you know, we're down two starters and we're starting a rookie and a third string center and we're crushing it, you know, and it's such a good system that we have going on right now. Now, a little bit of outside of Goga, man, like, you know, you've been watching this team a lot this season. You're covering this team mm-hmm. this season. What has been one of the more surprising things that you have seen for this Magic team to be in this position that they're at of, you know, 15-7? I didn't prep you for that question. I know.
No, you're good. No, you're good. No, I prefer that anyway. Really, I did not expect. I mean, I could go the route and say Goga. Because of course, but I super did not expect Jalen Suggs to have this massive of a turnaround right away. To transition it back to Goga, I wanted to mention it a little bit.
Sure.
Here, because like I did my article and I think it's very important. The way Jalen Suggs plays basketball inspires that entire team.
Sure.
So I think the biggest surprise is just how much of a leader he's become, like almost overnight. And he's basically like a lead by example guy. Like that guy hustles his butt off. That guy is basically like he reads defenses so well, it's almost insane. And if he can do that, why can't we do that? And that's kind of the whole thing. Like, I guess that's my big thing. Jalen Suggs becoming, in my opinion, the third most important member of this team was not on my bingo card for this season.
Right.
I didn't expect Jamal Mosley to like become this elite X's and O's guy in this second season either. I thought it would take him at least a year, or another year to like fully immerse himself with his roster and personnel. But no, that guy,
he took a little third year leap, man.
Yeah, that guy understands his roster better than Steve Clifford ever did. And such a talented head coach. I think those are the two biggest things outside of just how quick like Goga and Anthony Black have adjusted to like this. Oh, and number three that I think might be number one. I wasn't sure that Mo Wagner was a consistent rotation guy going into the season. Yeah.
That's a big surprise for me.
Okay,
too.
maybe he's a locker room guy. Right. Maybe he'll get you in spurts. His defense needs work, but the fact that he's one of the most important, like I wanted Naz Reid really bad leading up to the offseason because I wasn't sure if Mo and Goga at the time were going to be like them. I didn't know what their roles were going to be, and watching Mo blossom into this like absolute leader and unit on the bench, like the second unit is like the best second unit in basketball, and that's, I mean, Cole gets most of the credit and like deservedly so, but that's also because of Goga and just how good he's been.
You mean
no, not Goga, Mo. Yeah, just how good he's been. And
shout out Joe Ingles, who connects everyone on that
shout
unit.
Out Joe Ingles. Man, gone are the days where or the arguments we had of him being washed bum. He's found his stride here. Grandpa Joe.
We're at halftime on the Cleveland Magic game, and Joe is currently leading the Magic in points. He hasn't missed a shot. He's missed one shot, one three-pointer. He's 2 from 3. But just shout out Joe Ingles, you know. Dude, his pick and roll chemistry with Mo Wagner is like off the chain. It's off the chain.
It's so good. I didn't think he was going to even be used in that often. I thought he'd be like, okay, I'm going to be a mentor. I'm going to shoot. That's what's
tried
up.
I tried to tell you guys in the group chats, and y'all just made fun of
you
me.
You did.
You're not watching him. Like, you're only watching his misses. You're not watching anything else he does. And just, I'm calling out our group chat a little bit. All right.
listen. Steven isn't lying at all. He was very much the our HQ group's top jingler. Yes. I should say
he was the top jingler.
Town jingler. He was the top. Yes. You're the top jingler of the group.
Jingle all the
never
way.
Never lose that crown. You have very much jingled all the way, and it's proving, oh, what fun it is.
I love it. We're getting in the holiday spirit, people. Joe Ingles really helps us do that. Yeah. All right, man. We're getting close to wrapping up this podcast, but before we get into that, I want to talk about this weekend. All right. You live in Boston. Yes, but
I do.
But you're an Orlando Magic mm-hmm. fan. And it just so happens that the Orlando Magic fans absolutely hate Boston Celtics because of Eddie House.
For good reason.
And some of the Magic players even have a little grudge. Cole Anthony said he hates Eddie mm-hmm. House. I mean, not hates, but does not. You know, he is the reason that he gets up for that game every time they play the Celtics. It's all really comical to me. I don't really care too much about, like, I'm not one of the people on Twitter that's yelling at Eddie House whenever he says something, but I do think it's really funny, and it's fun to give the Magic fans some energy to feed off of. And if it's giving the Magic team some energy to go into a, you know, really tough team, that's okay. But you know, the Magic play this weekend, the Boston Celtics on Friday and again on Sunday in Boston. What are your thoughts of this team going into that series, considering you probably watch a decent amount of Boston games too, living in Boston, just like I live in the Bay. I cover the Celtics Warriors games as well. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts about this, like, kind of baseball series, mini baseball series, like, weekend we have coming up with Boston?
Yeah. The Magic Celtics is slowly turning into one of my favorite mini rivalries. I joked during the in-season tournament game that it was like watching two close friends fight for me. But
yes,
I'm obviously like Magic. It's Magic till I die. But
yeah,
but like the way that the Celtics are constructed, assuming they're fully healthy, which Porzingis is now, that's a nightmare.
They're scary.
And like, I do wonder, and I did wonder throughout the entire game, would the Magic have won that game if Kristaps did not leave in, I think it was the third quarter?
Yeah.
Because he's an underratedly good drop defender, which is kind of tough for a Magic team that doesn't really connect on shots well. People are going to say, like, Jaylen Brown, those are the guys you got to watch out for. Yeah, of course. But, like, Kristaps, that's the guy you got to watch out for. And, of course, you have Drew Holiday and Derek White, two of the best perimeter defenders in the league. And you have guys who are kind of just learning offense in Anthony Black and, to a lesser extent, Jalen Suggs. And most importantly, this is a pissed off Celtics team.
Yeah.
This is a team that just cannot beat the Orlando Magic. They are angry. I mean, I don't know that for certain, but they are. But you can assume that this is a team that lost three straight games to Orlando. I'm pretty sure.
I think they're at four now.
Like
I think
this past season and the last season,
four games. Yeah,
four now. Four. That's
because we won the last three
four
last
games.
Year, and then we beat them the first time we played them this year.
Yeah, that's right. It was three. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they are angry. They're gonna find ways to beat those boys.
That Boston crowd's going to be
Orlando,
feisty, too.
And,
they're going to be feisty.
Yeah, no. We talked about, we talk a lot, I guess, about just how Orlando has gotten a lot more loud and energetic now that we're good, which is great
sure.
and awesome. Boston, man. Boston sports fans are something else, and that is just an environment that at times feels like a European soccer match.
Yeah.
Like, there will be no justice, little decency from that crowd. Boston is one of the most difficult cities to play in, and that's for a very good reason.
What do you think is going to be a key to the game for the Magic to have to beat the Celtics again this weekend?
For the Magic, are you going to be able to trust Gary Harris in particular? Because if you can find a way to like get him moving off the ball and also have him connecting the shots, it gets a little bit easier because you'd think that a lot of like Derek White's attention and Drew Holiday's attention are going to go to, one of Jalen Suggs or Franz Wagner. And to an extent, Joe Ingles. If you can get Joe Ingles moving and running around, getting them the ball and having them shoot, because I think Porzingis is still is not learning, but like not as good of a perimeter defender as he is a drop defender and a post defender. Learning, getting how those are words that don't go, together. Learning how to like match up with Porzingis as well, because I think that that was a very difficult thing for them in the in-season tournament game. And when they took Porzingis out, the Magic just could not be stopped. So figuring out how to get past him, you do that by baiting him into drop and getting Gary Harris to move around. That's at least how I would coach the Magic. I'm not a coach, so don't take my word as gospel. Sure, but
those are things that you just consider like, as some a team that's watched both, a fan that's watched both.
Yeah. For sure. And getting the ball in the hands of your shooters is like advice that like anybody can give. Like, of course you want the 3-point shooters to connect, but it's especially important against Boston, a team that knows how to clog the paint. They're not a dumb team. They are the number one team in the league for a reason. This is a team that knows how bad the Magic are shooting. And so what are they going to do? The paint is mine. You can't have it. So if they're, it all boils down to, are their shooters going to shoot? Can Paolo especially, a lot of attention is going to be on Paolo. Is he going to be versatile enough off ball to where they can have like, or is he going to be like a good enough playmaker to where he can have a little, where he can like allow gravity to open up guys like Gary and Joe? And obviously you can't just be a good playmaker in one game, but like, is that going to be a thing that like the Celtics are worried about? Or are they just going to have, because Paolo attracts gravity because it's Paolo.
Right,
but
right.
It's a matter of how much you can, it's a matter of how much you can bait Boston's relentless defense. I think Orlando's defense is a bit more relentless because it's because we're young. Sure. But Boston is smart, a very smart team. Joe Mazzulla doesn't get a lot of credit for how well he has turned this team into his own. Implementing some of what Ime Udoka kind of had, but also putting in a lot more of an offensive game plan as well. The key to the Magic is to just get the Celtics off guard, get them baited, play good, efficient team basketball, because if you even mess up ever so slightly, if you make one wrong move, that Celtics team is going to make you regret it for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I mean, they're smart. They're the number one team in the East right now. They're, you know, title favorites for a lot of people. And, you know, I know we've beaten them four times in a row, but that doesn't necessarily mean this weekend of playing them on Friday and Sunday is going to be any easier at Boston. So,
it's going to get harder.
I would love to obviously win both. I don't expect to win both. I think just winning one of the two be a pretty big solid win for the weekend, in my opinion. I don't take this Magic team lightly. I don't take the Boston Celtics team lightly, despite what Eddie House says. So, with all that, man, Luke, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show. It's been so fun talking some Magic basketball with you. It's been fun deep diving a little bit more into your conversation with Goga. We'll definitely get you back on the show later this season, probably after the new year at some point, as we start to wrap up this December. You know, God, we're already December 11th, which is crazy. Christmas is right around the corner.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Luke, why don't you go ahead? One, listeners of the show, go to Orlando Magic HQ. Go to the article section and go read that interview with Goga Patate. It's phenomenal. Luke did an amazing job with it. You want information? It's got information. I mean, we hardly touched the surface on what we talked about in this article. You will be there, and by the end of this article, you'll be blown away on, one, how well-written it is, and two, how much information you're going to get about Goga and his thoughts on this team, his thoughts on not just how he came into basketball, but his time in Indy, his time during the trade deadline when he got waived, and then also His first year and current, he talks about current aspects of this team right now with his time as a starter. You don't want to miss it. So go check it out. Go to our Instagram page, sign up to be a subscriber. $5 a month helps us a lot. Gives you some cool benefits. Check it out. Luke, let's go ahead and tell the people where they can find you and your work.
Yeah, you can find me at OrlandoMagicHQ.com. Of course, again, the GoGo article is not only the best thing that I've ever written. It took a good month to months to prepare and to plan, and a good half a week to a week to write it. Not only that, but I really mean when I say that, like, I think it's the most comprehensive Goga Batase article on the internet that isn't Wikipedia. Probably. So if you're a true Goatga stan, this is the article for you. And if you're just a fan of the Magic in general and you want like a kind of a historical-ish view on the win streak, I attempted to put that in perspective as well. So if you want to hear about Goga's upbringing, what brought him to Orlando, the win streak and how he became a starter, that everything you could ever want on all four of those topics in what I would say is a pretty well-written, thank you for the hype, Steven.
Oh, absolutely.
Manner. But it's Stefan, right?
Stephen.
Stephen, I was right the first time. Okay. But if you want that, it's all in the Goga article. Brand new role, same old Goga. You can find me there. You can also find a bunch of my other work there. The Mike Carter Williams interview is still good as well. This is my home now. And he no longer plays for the Magic, but it's still a very good article on how much he loves the city and the team. And outside of HQ, you can also find me on boston.com. If you search my name, that'll probably one of the first things you see. For those of you who are MLB heads, I got a couple of articles on baseball as well, some football, and plenty of Celtics basketball. If you're interested in knowing more about Luke Kornet or Delano Banton, I got articles on those guys as well, and some just pretty well in depth stuff with some of the Red Sox's minor league guys, like guys who are in the majors now, like Willy Abreu, Joe Japes. If you're a Red Sox fan, I think go check out my work as well. I don't think you'll be disappointed at all.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Magic fans, we are going to tune back into the last quarter of this Magic game. They are, again, currently playing the Cavaliers. 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Magic are down by 1 point, 60-59. So as we go back and watch that, you guys will be listening to this live after the game. You'll already know the results of this. But we just want to thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting Orlando Magic HQ. Luke, thank you so much for joining me. And let's go, Magic. Peace.
Of course.